go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew 28. We're going to look at today the end part. We've been dealing with the whole idea of salvation, discipleship, and we're coming to the very last part of our study, which deals with what we call the plan. And we're going to see that and talk about how that fits together this morning. Our goal, of course, in the whole study was to be able to put together what exactly is our salvation message, what is discipleship, how do they fit, how do they fit together, what happens if you confuse those messages and those kind of things. So we've seen that over a number of weeks, and this morning we'll close our study by seeing the plan. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks again for a great day, and thank you for this class and just the fun that we have of getting to be together. Thank you for allowing me to get to be the teacher, get to be in here. Lord, I thank you for each one who on a regular basis come and study your word and seek to live for Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you that as we look at this study this morning, that we once again understand the plan that you have for us, the plan dealing with evangelism and the gospel and the plan with the training aspect and what often is called discipleship and those kind of things. Lord, we know the whole thing is discipleship, but we thank you for the opportunity to serve you, live for you, and make a difference for you. Thank you, Lord, for the grace message for salvation. Thank you for the opportunity that as those who have believed in Jesus Christ, that you allow us to serve you and to be your disciples. Lord, we ask you that you would teach us today. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've gone through our study. And let me just remind you of some things that we did. We started with our introduction, and we dealt with the whole issue of salvation and discipleship and how they fit together and how that there's sometimes, oftentimes, confusion. And that's why we talked about the whole idea of results and concerns and what's going on. And then we went to Matthew 28 in the early part of our study just to see the Great Commission. We're going to come back to it this morning to finish our study. We then talked about salvation and discipleship and the differences. I have that blue handout for you, which is, if you want it, you should have it already, but it's the one that shows the distinction between salvation and discipleship. We talked about the problems, and I just want to remind you again that whenever you confuse the message of salvation and discipleship, then you run in, number one, with the problem. What do you tell people to do to be saved? Do you tell them it's grace through faith, or do you tell them they have to give their life and serve God? What is it that it takes to be saved? That confuses the message. And then a second thing, it actually makes works for salvation whenever you confuse the message, because then you are telling people that they have to do good things and they have to keep doing good things in order to be saved or stay saved or to prove that they're saved. And then the final part is that if you confuse the message, there's no assurance of salvation. There is security if you put your faith in Christ. You're secure in Christ. But if you don't understand all that, then there is no assurance of your salvation. So that's the three dangers that we looked at. And we spent several weeks. We had a whole bunch of good questions. I mean, just a lot of good input. And I think, y'all, that is such an important thing. And when I first started this study, I thought, well, okay, you know, let's maybe take 2 to 3 weeks just to hit on this idea. But as we got into it, it took more weeks, and we talked and we had good input, because I think this is the most vital issue that we deal with, and that is, what exactly does it take to be saved, and what do we do after we're saved, and what happens when you confuse the message? Because we're seeing in our society today that there is the front loading and back loading of the message. There is a confusion of what must you do to be saved. There is a confusion of what must you do in a sense to stay saved, as that's how they would put it, or to prove that you're saved. There's all of that that has confused the whole thing. I am thankful for a church that from the very beginning, when I came here 14 years ago, from the very beginning, the people in this church wanted a clear gospel message. They held to the authority of the Scripture. I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but when Countryside started, they called a couple of seminaries, and they would say, we didn't know very much. So what we did was this. We would talk to guys on the phone, and the question we would ask them is, what is your message for salvation, and do you believe that the Bible is the inerrant Word of God? They found no one that held to the authority of the Scripture and that the Bible was inerrant. Everyone they talked to said, well, I believe the Bible has errors in it. It's a good book, but everyone they talked to. And then they called Dallas Seminary, and the guy knew me. I was walking down the hall, and with the question, and I was walking, y'all know the story, but I was walking down the hall, and the Countryside, the 11 people called, and as we answered the phone, they said, we're looking for a guy. Do you have anybody there you think might want to come? And I passed right by his door, and he went, I think I know a guy. Hold on. And he hollered at me. Actually, what he said was this. I'll give you the words. Hey, JB, do you think you could be a Baptist? Because this is a Baptist church is calling. I said, well, I guess so. As long as they hold to the Bible, I could be anything, you know? And that was, and so when we look at this, I'm thankful for a church that holds to the truth of the Bible and holds to a clear gospel grace message. If you've been anywhere lately, sometimes you're going to find people don't hold to the grace message. Or they hold to a grace message, but they're not clear on the grace message. They say they hold to grace, but without thinking, they put in works. So I think this is such a vital issue. What I want to do today, and as we finish this up, if you've ever said to yourself, what's a church really supposed to do and how are they supposed to do it? In just about 10 or 15 minutes, I want to show you, and with your input if you want to give it, I want to show you what I think the Scripture shows our plan dealing with the gospel and dealing with the training part, how it fits together, and just a very brief idea of what we're supposed to do. I talked to Don and Holly the other day, and we were talking about that whole issue, and I think Holly and Don both said, you know, that it's unusual that a church talks about what they're really supposed to do and has put it together. What are we supposed to do? Why are we here? What is the plan? And those kind of things. So that's what I want us to do. And if you're in Matthew 28, I want you to just look, of course, at the famous verses 18, 19, and 20. In fact, if you want to go back to verse 16, I want you to see this. This is not the last message Jesus gave his guys. The last message he gave his guys is found in Acts chapter 1. This is in Galilee. Acts chapter 1 is found in on the Mount of Olives, where he ascends into heaven. This is in Galilee. Mount of Olives is in right outside Jerusalem. So this is in northern Israel. Verse 16, but the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, now notice, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. He starts with the authority. Go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I want us to see three things this morning. Number one, I want us to understand the plan. Number two, I want us to see the whole issue of the salvation message again. And number three, I want us to see the issue of training, what often people call discipleship, what we've sort of called discipleship in this study, but we'll find that the whole aspect of evangelism and training are really what the Bible calls discipleship. Look again at Matthew 28, verse 18. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And notice, here is the command. Make disciples. Now, a lot of people, and you've heard me teach this before, and we taught it back at the very beginning of the study, people read it and it says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. People say the command is to go and make disciples. Well, in the original language, go is not a command. Go is a participle. It actually says, as you are going, make disciples, as you are baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as you are teaching them. The only command in the passage is to make disciples. The commission that we are to do is to make disciples as we are going, as we are identifying them with Jesus Christ, and as we are teaching them. To simply put it down, there is a twofold aspect of making disciples. One is evangelism. The other is training. One is giving the gospel message, which is for salvation. The other is the training aspect, which we often call discipleship. He calls the whole thing discipleship in Matthew 28. I just want you to see that. So we are to evangelize, which is to proclaim the gospel when we're scattered, and we're to train and equip when we're gathered. Now, that's one of the things that we teach in the membership training seminar that a lot of people don't understand. When we gather on a Sunday morning, it's not for evangelism. Now, we evangelize and we give the gospel. And this morning, if you were in the first service, I gave an invitation. I didn't give an altar call. There's a difference. But I said, if you have never trusted in Christ, right where you're sitting this morning, put your faith in Christ. That's an invitation. That's evangelism. But the primary purpose of the believers gathering, notice how I said that, the believers gathering is not evangelism because we're already evangelized. The primary purpose of believers gathering is for training. So there's a twofold thing. We scatter as we evangelize and give the gospel. We gather as we come together to be trained and equipped to serve. And of course, as we gather, we worship as well. So when we think about this twofold aspect of the plan, one is as we scatter out, we take the gospel message in this community. And then as we gather together, it is for training. And so I want you to think about that. Let's start with this whole idea of the message, okay? The salvation message, the gospel. We have a ministry and we have a responsibility. Now, in a lot of churches, people believe that the person to do the evangelism is the pastor. And what they say is this, they have been taught that what you're supposed to do is bring your lost friends to church, and the pastor will give a gospel message, and your lost friends will believe. And that's why there's a lot of altar calls as they have, trying to make people respond to a gospel message, because your goal in some thinking is your goal is that JB's going to lead them to Christ. So you got to get them there and say, now listen to what he's got to say. Okay, the plan. That's a lot. We don't see it that way at all. We see that the goal is that when we gather, we get equipped and trained so we can study and know and all that. And then we go out in this community. And where we come into people day in and day out at our jobs, in our neighborhoods, in our dorms, in our houses, and all of these things, we come into contact with people who do not know Christ. And in our relationships with them, we tell them about Jesus Christ. Evangelism is not done by one person on a Sunday morning from 10:45 to 12 or 8:30 to 9:30. It is done by everyone in the body as we scatter all throughout this community. There are going to be times on a Sunday morning we give the gospel, people trust Christ. I've had people come up to me and say, I put my faith in Christ today. That's fantastic. But most evangelism is not done here. So let's think about the whole idea of evangelism. And I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we see our responsibility. I've told people this before, but if you ever wanted just to study one chapter in the Bible, if you said, you know, I want to study, but I don't think I want a big old book right now. Okay, just take 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There is so much in there, you'll study for probably 2 years. Going verse by verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you're going to study in detail. I mean, there's just so much there, y'all. But look at the last part. In verse 17, sort of a famous verse, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, new things have come. Now, it talks about when we trust in Christ, we're a new person. Then notice what he says. Now, all of these things are from God. What? The new things, that we were dead, now we're alive, those kind of things. Now, watch. All these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, a lot of times people talk about being in the ministry. And naturally, when you hear people are in the ministry, you think of people who are pastors or missionaries or something like that. They're in the ministry. Well, the truth is, every one of us are in the ministry, and every one of us has been given what's called the ministry of reconciliation. Look at the verse again. He says, namely, all of these things are from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ. God has brought us to himself through Jesus Christ. And what did he do? He gave us, each of us, the ministry of reconciliation. We get to tell people how God has reconciled mankind to himself through Jesus Christ. That's what we get to tell them. And so when we talk about the gospel, when we go tell people about Christ, what are we telling them? We're telling them that God sent his son, that he died on the cross, that he paid for sin, he rose again, and that he brings us to himself, that we get eternal life, we get an eternal relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. So he says, we've got the ministry of reconciliation, telling people how God has reconciled us to himself through Christ. So whether we realize this or not, every one of us in this room have a ministry to tell people about Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. It's kind of scary. We're going to talk about that. Look at verse 19. Namely, here's Paul. He says, namely, let me explain it to you because you may not have got it the first time. Namely, that God was in Christ, God was using Christ, bringing the world to himself, not counting their sins, their trespasses against them. Where did he count the sins? Huh? On the cross, on Jesus Christ. He didn't count them on us. Your sins have been taken off you and put on Jesus Christ. That's what he says. He says, not counting our trespasses against them. And then he has committed. The word there means to deposit. He has deposited to us the word of reconciliation, which would say the message. We get to tell people the message of how God reconciles people to himself through his son. And that's a scary thing. He goes on and ends it by saying, therefore. That's a summary statement. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. And I'll just stop right there. There's a little bit more. He talks about as though God were beseeching through you and we beg you to be reconciled and all of this stuff. But we are the ambassadors for Christ. We are the ones that represent Jesus Christ. Now, understand that primarily you represent Jesus Christ as you go into this community. Very few of us live in exactly the same place. We're scattered all over this town. We got all different jobs, different responsibilities, different places. We come into contact with people all of the time. And we have that privilege to tell people about Jesus Christ. I want to give you 3 aspects of evangelism, 3 things to think about. The first one is this, is that we have to be trained. First Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within you." I hope and pray that every one of you in this room could say to me, "JB, if an opportunity came for me to tell somebody about Jesus, I know how to share my faith. I know a method, whether it's going to be what we call the bad news, good news message, whether it's called the bridge, whether it's your own personal testimony, whatever method you choose to use, that I would pray that every one of you would say, sure." If somebody came to me and just out of the blue said, "What do you think I have to do to go to heaven?" I could open up the Bible and I could show them how to have eternal life. If you can't do that, you need to be trained. That's what our 412 is all about. You hear us always talking about a 412. 412 are small group Bible studies in which we have a curriculum, and two or three of those lessons in that curriculum teach you how to share your faith. Let me say this. If you were to say to me, "JB, I'm never going through a 412. I'm just not going to do it. I don't have the time. I don't do this." If you want to share your faith, you come see me. I will get with you one-on-one, and I will show you two ways, two easy ways that you can share your faith. Because if you're going to go out of these doors and you're going to represent Jesus Christ as an ambassador for Christ, you need to be trained. So that's one thing. And training involves two things: understanding the clear gospel message, and that's what we just spent all these weeks on. What exactly is the message? Jesus died and rose again, and all who believe in Him have eternal life. And then understanding a clear response. We don't front load, we don't back load. We tell people it's faith. We tell people to believe. We tell them if you trust in Jesus, He gives you eternal life. So training means that we understand the gospel and we're clear on the response. That's a key. There's a second thing that involves in evangelism and besides training, and that's prayer. You pray for opportunities. You pray for people who do not know Christ. I bet you that every one of us in this room could take on a sheet of paper, and on the people you come in contact with every day, you could say, "I don't know if this person knows Christ. I don't know if this one." Get you a list. Begin to pray. And it's kind of scary, and be careful if you do this. Begin to pray that God will give you these opportunities to talk to Him. And if you pray that, God will give you these opportunities. So before you actually get your list and begin to pray, you better be trained. Because it's going to happen. Because God takes you at your word. When you say, "God, I want to know if old Joe over there knows Christ," okay? Well, watch out, because as you relate to Joe, there's going to be a time, possibly, boom, you may get to share your faith with him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 basically says, "Prayer be made for all people." Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul prays for the Jewish people, his own people. He says, "I pray that they will come to know the Messiah." All of you in your life, you have people that you're praying for right now, probably. Pray that God will give you the opportunity to talk to them. There's a third thing you do, and that is real practical, and that's look for the opportunities. I've told this story before, but it really makes a difference. If I said to all of us right now, what we're going to do is we got about 12 cars out there, and we're going to get in groups of three or four, and we're going to leave right now. We're going to go into different neighborhoods, and we're just going to go knock on doors and talk to them about Christ. We'd all go, I don't think I could do that today. Thanks for asking, but I can't do that. You know, we'd be scared, and it would be, you know. But when you get opportunities and you look for the opportunities, you'll get to share your faith. At Dallas Seminary, we divided the city of Dallas into these different sections, and each guy had a little section, and they took two of us. We'd go out. We did this once a year. It's called the Day of Evangelism. And you'd come to the seminary that day, and they would have you and a friend. They would have, like, the streets you were going to go down. And you got in a car, and you went there. And then you'd go to the houses and knock on the door and say, "We're from Dallas Seminary. We just want to ask you some questions." And it ended up getting to be that you'd share your faith. And some people trusted Christ. In fact, every time we ever did it, somebody trusted Christ. But I tell you this, every time, the first time or the second time, my friend would tell you, "You're going." I said, "No, you're going first. You talk. No, you talk." And, you know, we're going up there like this until you finally get. And then after time, after three or four, I'm going. No, I'm going. No, I'm going to talk. We'd see people, and we'd go, "Hey, excuse me, come here. Before you know it, you get bold. I don't know what happens to you, but you go crazy when you do this. I mean, you love it. And so if that ever happens and you start sharing your faith, time will get, you'll be bolder and bolder and bolder and bolder. So pray for the opportunities. And I tell you, if you look for them, they'll be there. We go through our lives and opportunities go right past us because we're not looking for them. So in evangelism, be ready to give an answer, be trained and equipped, pray for people who do not know Christ, and look for the opportunities. That takes us to the second part, and that's the training part. Now, how many of you have been told that it is your responsibility to share your faith? besides what I just told you just now. Okay. Okay. How many of you have been told it's your responsibility to teach the Bible to other people? A few. Do you realize it's everybody's responsibility to teach the Bible to other people? Every one of us in this room who are Christians, who begin to know any of the Scripture, it is our responsibility to take the truths that we know and pass them on to other people. Doesn't mean you have to have the gift of teaching, because very few people have the gift of teaching. Wait, you put it out, that's just the way it is. I've had people say, well, I can't teach anybody the Bible because I don't have the gift of teaching. It doesn't matter. We all are responsible to tell people about Jesus Christ. We're all responsible to tell people about the Bible and help them understand it and grow. And I want you to see something. Let's talk about the training. You remember, without turning there, you can go ahead and turn to Ephesians. Just from time, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And as you're turning to Ephesians chapter 4, I want to remind you of something that's found in Ezra. In Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, and if you've ever gone through the membership training seminar, this is a verse that we use. Ezra purposed in his heart that he would study the Word of God, that he would practice the Word of God, and he would teach it to other people. He had a threefold goal of his life, that he would study the Bible so he could know it, that he would then live out the Bible that he knows, and then he would teach other people. That was his plan. We have the exact same plan. We're to study the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 2, study to show yourself approved. We're to apply it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 says, take the things and practice them out. And then we are to teach others, 2 Timothy 2, 2. And look at Ephesians 4. Look what it says. It says in verse 11, he gave some as apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, what I want you to understand is, who does the ministry in the local church? Who does it? Who does it? Everybody does. The mentality in our country is you hire your ministry done. How this church in a school year has 700 people coming? That the most we've ever had on staff is two. Right now we got one. We're fixing to have two. It's coming next Thursday. How can two people minister to 700 people? The old rule of thumb, as they taught in school, is for every 100 people you have coming to your church, you've got to have a staff member. You know how we've been able to do it? Because you do the ministry. You do the ministry. You're to be equipped to do the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. That's really how it's supposed to function. Look what he goes on to say. Till we all attain to the unity of faith, knowledge of the Son of God, maturity, fullness. Verse 14, so we won't be children tossed to and fro. Verse 15, we get the truth and love and we grow up. And verse 16 ends by saying that the whole body grows and builds itself up in love. We're to equip each other to do the ministry. We're to train each other. We're to teach each other. That's why we have it. I'm going to tell you the practical ways we do it in just a second if you don't know those. The other verse is my favorite, is 2 Timothy 2:2, where Paul tells to Timothy to take the things that he's been taught, turn around and teach faithful people so they can turn around and teach others. There's a four thing there. Paul to Timothy, Timothy to faithful people to teach others. Every one of us in this room have people in our lives that are already Christians that you can take and you can help them grow. You can help them know the Scripture. You can equip them to do the work of the ministry so the body of Christ can be built up. That's how it functions. Now, let me just tell you this, and I'll open it up for any questions or comments. But how do we do that at this church? What's our plan? How do we do all these things? Well, first of all, the scattered thing and the evangelism thing is really each one of you as you go out in this community. And on a Sunday morning, wherever a passage deals with the gospel, it is my responsibility, teaching through the Word of God, to give a clear teaching of the gospel message whenever there's there. Whenever he talks about, I give you eternal life, or any of those things. And the Gospel of John is full of the gospel message. That's why he wrote it. He wrote it so that you could see who he is and believe. And so all over and over in the study of the Gospel of John, I've presented the gospel many times. It's my responsibility to do that. Whenever I come to those passages, it is your responsibility when we scatter in this community to share with other people. Now, how do we train each other? That's the part two. Well, let me tell you how it begins. It first of all begins with the membership training seminar. If you are not a member of Countryside and you come here on a regular basis, I invite you to become a member. I invite you to say, hey, I'm going to connect with that church. I'm going to use the gifts and talents that I have, and I'm going to connect, and I'm going to allow that church to serve me, and I'm going to serve in that church, because that's what membership really is. And what we do in that membership seminar is we take through things like, what do we believe about Christ and the Bible and salvation? How do we see the church gathered and scattered? And how can you serve in this body, and how can this body minister to you? That's where it starts. And so we would love to have everybody who comes on a regular basis actually say, I want to be a member. Because that's the first place we can actually get some training there. There's a second thing, and you've heard me talk about it, I mentioned it a while ago, and that's what we call the 412s. That's based on Ephesians 4:12, where we equip the saints to do the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. We made this stuff up. I mean, there's some good stuff in there, and it talks about the whole idea of what's the gospel message and how to present the gospel message and security of the believer and the whole idea of discipleship and how to get into Scripture for yourself and prayer, how the church fits together, the Christian life. All of that is found. We hope that everybody connected with this church sometime goes through a 412 and gets those foundational truths. We call them 412 foundations. If you've never been through that, and we're rewriting it right now, I'm rewriting it hopefully by the very first of August, somewhere in there, we will have the new 412 material. It's going to be easier to go through, and it's going to be even a little bit more detailed so you can get more information. And so if you've never been through a 412 starting this fall, I invite you. I teach one on Wednesday morning, but you can look in the bulletin. There are 412s all over the place that you can say, hey, I'm going to get into that one. And it's a great time for you to get truth and get grounded. So you can say, hey, I'm not going to be tossed to and fro. I want to know what I believe and why I believe it. Then, tied in with that, after the 412 foundations, if we want people to stay in small groups if they want to, and we've got other studies that they can go through to help them continue to grow as believers. Besides that, we also have Sunday school classes, and we have all other things offered. Now, there is another level or another thing that we offer, and I'm going to really expand it this fall. We call it the 2-2. You saw me introduce a bunch of men. They came up one day, and I had them on a Sunday morning, and they had gone through a study that was a year study. It's actually 45 weeks, 40 lessons. It's called the 2-2. It's based on 2 Timothy 2:2. It takes you through all kind of basically the theology of the Bible and how so many, it's practical and theological, and it helps you be prepared even deeper to pass on God's truth to other people. We have one that for men at 6:30 on Tuesday morning. We have one for ladies at 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning. And beginning this fall, we're going to have one at 6:30 on Tuesday evening. It goes from 6:30 to 8. It's an hour and a half is all. And it's going to be open co-ed, so anybody can come, anybody. And if you have said to yourself, hey, I'd kind of like something like that, come on, because it is so fun. And there's just a lot of things in there that can really, it's a resource. When you get through, you have a notebook that's about this big, really this thick, got all kind of material in there, so that as you continue to grow as a Christian, there are things in there that will help you and resources as you want to pass it on to others and those kind of things. So that's my prayer for that. And let me tell you, here's another thing we got for some guys. We're starting an intern program this fall for guys who say to themselves, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to like go be a pastor or a youth person or a missionary or something, or whether I'm ever going to go to seminary or not, but I'd like to connect with sort of the church and the staff and JB, and I want to see sort of the inner workings of what it means to be in this sort of thing. It's a two-year program. We've worked together, and it's a commitment, and if you were interested in that, come see me, because we're fixing to work. That thing is going to probably start in August, September, and I think it's going to be so incredible. So there's all kind of ways we want to train. There's a group of men that meet together on Thursday morning, and this fall, we're going to start a study in leadership, because that's sort of the, after the 2-2 comes the leadership aspect, and we're going to work on that. So there are all kind of ways that we seek as a local body to equip you and train you. So in the bottom line of our study, we saw this whole issue of salvation, discipleship. We saw our commission. We saw that there are two different messages, one for salvation and one, as we'd say, for training or discipleship is how we used it. And we said that if you mix them up, you got some real problems with the gospel message, you got some real problems with how to present the gospel message, and you got problems with security of the believer, our assurance. And we ended up by saying, this is our plan, and this is how we as a church try to do it. I encourage you to Take if you, wherever you are, take the next step up and say, I want to get deeper into this stuff. You'll never regret it. I mean, the most important thing is your relationship with Jesus Christ, your fellowship with Him, and the fact that you get to serve the living God. Okay, questions, comments, anything?